Right, I'm really getting blessed with the conference. I'm exploding. Amen. Before I really get into my message, let me just say I just want to give a comment on what Pastor Steve touched on. Concerning a sense of lack. You know, as ministers of God's word, or as children of God, we really have to take heed to what you're saying. Have you ever noticed that as ministers of the word, we go about or we move around with that sense of lack? Especially, let me say, don't be offended, let me say, us African ministers. Black ministers, to be specific. No offense meant, but we move around with this sense of lack. Have you even noticed on television when people are doing so-called ministry on television, there is a great deal of sense of lack. What the minister would be saying and what really he would be practicing are two different things. Two different things. He tells you that you have everything in Jesus Christ, but he is demanding your everything in the name of the gospel. And in our ignorance, we rush with our material things, but even in our secular language we say ignorance is no defense. We are in ignorance, giving away everything that we have, trying to labor or to work for our blessings. Yet, like you are saying, we have all those spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Have you seen thousands of dollars being given on television? And the minister goes, if you don't give in my ministry, poverty will be chasing you. And if you do this to the work of God, he calls it with the work of God, let me tell you, you will be blessed. Then they quote scripture. I call it self-fulfilling ministry. Self-fulfilling ministry is ministry that has got to do everything to do with the leader and nothing to do with the person who is hearing. You know, one of my favorite teachers said this statement, which I always want to quote. He said, you don't use people to build ministry, but you use ministry to build people. It's not the other way around. You don't manipulate people in order to fulfill your ego. Be my timekeeper. Amen. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Have you seen sometimes as ministers, I've said this before, Mariana as a minister is ministering to a full church. He makes an altar call. 50 people come in front. They have responded to Marianazo's altar call. Then Marianazo feels good. 50 people came to the altar. Not only that, after they come in front, when I pray for them in the name of Jesus, and they are slain by what we call the Spirit, then I feel that yes, I'm anointed. That's a sense of lack. I'm not anointed because people are going to fall down. Whether they fall or not, it's not about that. The Bible says I've got an anointing. Not because people have fallen down. Not because of the way people are responding. Not because 50 people have come in front. If no one comes in front after my plea for an altar call, it doesn't affect my identity. It doesn't affect the way I feel. Are we together, folks? Amen. Have you seen people or pastors? Let me to the point. You go to them, you give them. Hello, Pastor Gumbura. They rebuke you. They tell you, how dare you call me a pastor? I'm a bishop. I'm telling you what is happening as you speak right. You refer to me as a pastor. I'm a bishop. I'm a prophet. An apostle. Sense of lack. People don't know their identity. You know, my identity is secure on the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, having realized this, knowing the life that he had lived before, Paul goes on to say, I am what I am because of the grace of God. Not because of anything else. Not because of what I can do. Not because of what I will do. Not because of my performance. I am what I am because of Jesus Christ. I've seen congregations being rebuked. They have been told, you are hardening your hearts. Why are you hardening your hearts? Don't you hear my altar call? Why are you not coming in front? Why are you not falling down when I'm... And we end up doing those spiritual gymnastics, pushing people just to fulfill my ego. But you know, one funny thing. When people fall down, after you push them, they know that you have pushed them. Number two, when people fall down, when you push them, you know that you have pushed them. Amen. Self-fulfilling ministry. Trying to fulfill ego. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me get into my message. Next time I'll ask Pastor Steve. Not to make the sessions 30 minutes. Amen. I get a witness. Right, Romans 6:14.
Romans chapter 6, verse 14.
I'm going to speak about grace. The power to change. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not reign over you. The reason why sin will not have dominion over you, it's because you are no longer under the law. You are not living in legalism, but you are now living under grace. We have been taught what grace is. Like our theme is saying, grace is a divine influence upon the heart.
kuti nyasha ndokufemera kwamari pamsoro pemoyo wenyu.
That would enable you
inoita kuti iwe ukwanise
to do that which you would naturally do. It is a divine influence upon the heart. So sin is not having dominion over you because you are no longer living under the law, but you are now living under grace. You are now living under God's ability. This shows me something which you, if you don't read between the lines, you can clearly see. If you are under the law, the reason why sin is not having dominion over me is because I'm no longer under the law. Meaning, if I'm still under the law, sin has dominion over me. Are we together? Are we clear? Sin has dominion over me as long as I'm practicing the law. The amount of legalism or the amount of law that I move in empowers sin in my life. It empowers sin in your life. Sin will dominate you. Listen to me. You don't overcome sin by prayer and fasting. And hear me clearly. I pray and fast. I'm not saying prayer and fasting is bad. But I want to show you the difference between grace and legalism. You don't overcome sin in your life by much prayer. Much prayer is good. You must be related to your father. You are related in any way. Right. But you don't overcome sin by prayer and fasting. Amen. Are we together? The only way to overcome sin in your life is allowing the grace of God, the ability of God, then enablement of God to lead you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Right. I want to address one of the things that Paul addressed in Romans. Paul says, now that grace has come, are we now to live in sin? Should we continue in sin because grace abounds? Obviously, the answer is no. No ways. We cannot continue in sin because grace is abounding. So I want you to clearly hear what we are saying or what every teacher is saying here. We are not saying go and live the way you like. We are not saying live like a devil because grace is abounding. What we are saying is allow the grace of God in your life. Grace does not take away a person's responsibility, one's responsibility. Grace doesn't promote ungodliness. To the contrary, it promotes godliness in your life. Hear this very well. It promotes godliness in your life. It upholds godliness. Amen. Hallelujah. One speaker said, godliness is the forgotten result of grace. Grace is not the absence of restraint. It empowers restraint. Are we together? Are we moving together? At salvation, people usually experience an immediate change in many areas of their lives. But however, these changes are short-lived. And I know you're asking the question, why? A person has repented. They're experiencing victory in many areas of their life. And suddenly, they are moving in defeat. It's like the devil has got dominion over them. The answer, of course, is religion. Religion. The law. Amen. Hallelujah. People are now drawn back into their old ways of living because they are forgetting how they came to God. Pastor Steve quoted this verse, Colossians 2:6. I'm saying he quoted it, which says, as ye have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. The same way we accepted Jesus Christ in our lives, the Bible here is encouraging us to continue in that same way. How did we accept Jesus in our lives? We accepted Jesus by faith. We allowed his grace to rule and reign in our lives. Not because of anything that we did. We didn't come to Jesus because we had done anything. We accepted the finished work of the cross. The finished work of Calvary. We came to Jesus by believing in him. Now the Bible is saying, because you accepted him, since you accepted him by believing in him, continue. So continue in that way. We come to Jesus by faith. We come to Jesus by believing in him. By allowing his grace to influence our hearts. And once we are in the Lord, we begin walking in legalism. Paul says to the Galatians, oh, you foolish Galatians, in Galatians 3:3. What you are trying to do is very foolish. You began in the spirit, but now you are trying to become perfect by observing the works of the flesh, of the law. Paul tells them that it's typically impossible. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me ask this question. How many times are we trying to encourage our congregations to live right? By giving them a lot of rules and regulations. We call ourselves Pentecostals. We call ourselves charismatic. By word of mouth, we confess grace. But by way of practice, we practice legalism. By way of practice, we practice legalism. Amen. Hallelujah. At salvation, beloveds, the Bible, if we read in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, the Bible clearly shows us that God gives us a new heart. Amen. God is a heart God. Let's never forget that. Grace is God's power to influence the heart. God is a heart God. I normally say, do you know that we are human beings? We are not human doings. Sometimes as ministers, in our endeavor to make people be at peace with God, we put along the way a lot of screws. As we heard Pastor Betty preaching, it's a ministry of death. It is a ministry of death. Right. God being a heart God. He works in and through the heart. The heart, let me tell you, is the real you. The heart is the real you. That's why you say my heart. Who is saying my? The heart is the real you. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23.
Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23.
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Matthew chapter 12 verse 32. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Amen. The Bible says with the heart we believe and confession is made unto righteousness. So here we can see that God is a heart God. Now the problem we have as church leaders or as pastors, we forget that God is a heart God. We forget that grace is a divine influence upon the heart. Then we try to manipulate people in order for them to fall in line. It's practically impossible. It's practically impossible. God is a heart God. Hello? Amen. Amen. You can't go to an orange tree and expect to pick bananas. We do it several times in our churches. You can't do that. We try to change the behavior of the people. We try to pick bananas from orange trees. Instead of allowing the grace of God to change people's hearts. We were not called to teach people to live right. Maybe it's a shock to some of you. But our ministry, let me say, is to make people believe right. It's to make people believe right. If they believe right, they will automatically live right. Because their heart has changed. It's now a banana root, it's a banana tree. I can go there and pick bananas. Amen. I'm finishing 2 minutes, I'm through. Amen. You can't believe and not do. But you can do and not believe. Behavior modification. Spending our energies focusing on people's behaviors. Thank you. It's trying to pick bananas from an orange tree. But am I in any way saying that let's allow people just to live as they want? Am I in any way saying that? I'm saying let's allow grace. As we receive the Lord Jesus in our lives, Colossians 2:6, so walk we in that same way. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In one scripture, David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I cannot sin against
it."
And when I'm talking about the heart, I'm not talking about that pump which pumps blood in your life. No. Amen. I'll continue in my next session.